Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today as we continue on in the message, Having Done All, Stand. And we were looking at those passages in the sixth chapter of Ephesians where we're commanded to do this, having done all, having the full armor of God about us. And so I've been sharing with you, if you will, seven aspects of what it means to have patience or long-suffering, which is required in order to having done all to stand. That's going to take some patience once we've done everything we've known to do. And so we see by that very verse, it is a command to us. We also know from various scriptures that it's a byproduct of trials. It's a means whereby we inherit the promises of God. It's very active. It is not passive. It is not resignation. It's not just hanging on to the bitter end. It's not just endurance. No, it is very active, expressing faith and hope and trust in our God. It's also an attribute of perfection. And importantly, yesterday we looked at the object of our patience is not whatever we're waiting for or whatever the thing we're praying about, but rather it's waiting on God. He knows our needs. He knows our heart's desires. If we will truly delight ourselves in the Lord, He'll give us the desires of our heart. But our waiting, the object of our patience is not what we're after. It's but on the Lord and in His good timing, in His good pleasure. And have you noticed His timing is generally not ours? We'd like it like yesterday, but no, you see, He's got a multiplicity of purposes involved. He never just does one thing. It's staggering. Half the time, we might get just a few, oh, he did that. There's a complex of dynamics that are working. And I'm convinced we don't even see the surface of them. There's so many things going on. Just like in Scripture, we have no idea how rich, how varied the significance of even the smallest detail in Scripture is. Oh, my goodness. So anyway, let's go on. Today, we want to look at one of the final things that I'll share with you as far as the aspects of patience. It is a characteristic of the Christian. I'm going to share some passages. It refers to leaders, but it's true for all of us because we, just the fact that we may not have a public ministry, we are all, see, I'm including every one of you. If you're saved, God wants you to be an able minister of the gospel of reconciliation. So this applies to you, not just to the teachers and pastors and evangelists and other leaders in the body of Christ out there. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. 1 Timothy 3:3 says, a bishop, and notice he's underlining in this initial epistle to his Timothy, if you will, what a leader should not be, a bishop should not be, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre. What does that mean? Materialistic, wanting to get rich, money, but patient, not a brawler, nor covetous. In other words, desiring things. In other words, their focus has to be on spiritual things, on spiritual matters, on things that matter to the Lord. Not building their own kingdom, but seeking first God's righteousness. We have to do that first. Seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's what we have to do. The two absolutely go together. And then in 2 Timothy 2:24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive. You can't have an unruly spirit or temper. We have to be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. Okay, so it's a characteristic of every Christian. All right, so now let's talk about patience applied. How do we do that? Well, we need it in trials, afflictions, troubles, right? Okay, what are the areas, if you will, in our life, in our experience that the enemy can work? Well, what is the definition? First of all, let me review that for you. It means bearing pain or trials without complaint. It's showing self-control or calm, and it means steadfast or persevering. Let's see, in each of these areas the enemy works, how we are to apply patience. Well, in the circumstances of life, you know, we don't have control many times over the circumstances in our lives. There are things that occur to us that we just don't have control over. And we are to be patient in tribulation. Romans 12:12 says, we are to rejoice in hope. We are to be patient in tribulation, whatever that is, whatever forms it takes, and to continue instant in prayer. And so we are to be patient in tribulation. In other words, we're to bear the pain or the trials that we're going through without complaint. Remember, that was a real problem with the children of Israel. They murmured, they complained in the wilderness. That did not work out very well for them. All right, that's why those examples are given to us. Some people don't bother to read the Old Testament, but we really should, because they learned some very important lessons for our admonition and learning. Okay, so there's the things we don't have control over, the circumstances of life, and then there's another, in some cases, unfortunate situation we find ourselves in, and that is relating to others. You know, we're lively stones in the body of Christ, and that's how God gets the rough edges off of lively stones, getting right next up to others. And sometimes, if they're sweet and loving and charming and wonderful, oh, it's a delight. But if they're not, oh, it can be really not pleasant. And that's how God works. He puts us all together so that we must get along. We've got to develop unity and to consider one another better than ourselves. I mean, there's all kinds of passages in Scripture of where to relate. And so let me give you Scripture. 1 Thessalonians says, 5:14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. That's, you know, that doesn't mean we're just sloppy agape, totally loving and just, you know, there's a strength to being truly loving, just as Jesus was. He didn't tolerate error or sin. We're to comfort the feeble-minded. We're to support the weak. And if there was any question beyond that, he completes that sentence and then puts a period. And be patient toward all men. So we must be patient toward all men. How does that relate to the definition of patience? It means showing self-control or calm. Scripture tells us the Psalms, better is he that rules his own spirit. I think it's, or is it Proverbs? That better than that is one who takes a city. If you can rule your own spirit, if you can control your anger, if you can control your impatience, wow. Better than someone who is a strong warrior and can literally conquer a city. Praise God. All right, so what's another area that the enemy will work? Well, there's another definition we haven't covered yet, steadfast and persevering. That's a definition of patience. Well, now the third area, excuse me, that I'm sharing with you is self. We've got the circumstances of life we don't have really control over, relating to others. Well, you know, if we make some bad decisions and some, we're reaping what we sow. But in general, things happen to us that we don't have control over. There's relating to others, and then there's yourself. That's the biggest problem we all have. Is that not right? I mean, if we could, we're so often trying to fix things around us or trying to fix others that we tend to overlook the beam that is in our own eye. What did Jesus say? Take the beam out of your own eye so you will then be able to help and take the mote out of your brother's eye. And so, what do we have control over, beloved? That's the one area, absolutely, that we have control over. And sometimes we don't even have control over our physical being. I mean, sometimes there are those that have suffered loss of a limb or a physical illness. They're confined to bed, but you have control over the inner man, over your emotions, over your attitude, over the way you think, and the way you feel. There, that is one area that God holds you absolutely responsible for. And so, how does patience apply? Well, you've got the truth of the Word of God. You have to be steadfast and persevering in pursuing it. So, that is to stick with it, beloved. So, circumstances of life, to bear pain and trials without complaint, relating to others, show self-control and calm. In terms of yourself, be steadfast and persevering. For the Spirit of the Lord would say, my beloved, I am He that enables you. I am He that enables you to conquer and mortify the deeds of the body. It is not through self-effort. It is not through determination of your will, but it is a willingness to submit to me and to allow the power of the Holy Spirit to operate in your life. It is a marvelous mystery. It is a wonderful secret that I invite you to experience more and more. It is God working in you, both to will and to do of my good pleasure, says the Lord. Amen. Well, that wasn't a very long word, but he summarized it pretty well. I love you, dear ones. I pray for you every day. And what I pray for myself, I pray for you, that all of us can we're in this together, that we can all measure up to the stature of the fullness of Christ Jesus. I love you dearly. I pray for you every day. I do invite you to write. God has a purpose in agreeing prayer. It's one of the spiritual laws and dynamics in the realm of the Spirit. So if you feel the unction of the Holy Spirit, I invite you to write, share your prayer needs, and I'll send back whatever God gives. If you email, if you want a personal response, I invite you to share your mailing address. Of course, I will always pray, and I will confirm receipt. I love you. I love you dearly and desperately with the love of Jesus. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.